You're listening to Insight Special Coverage on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Arden Fair Mall in Sacramento is open today as usual, though it was closed all day yesterday due to concerns of protests related to the Stephon Clark case. City leaders and the Sacramento Kings, meanwhile, are preparing for a possible protest at the Golden One Center tonight. That's before the Kings game at 7. I want to share with you some of what Stephon Clark's mother, Sequette, said Saturday afternoon. This was after the announcement by DA Anne-Marie Schubert that no charges would be filed against the officers who shot and killed her son. This audio is courtesy of ABC 10.
She wants to go on a smear campaign about his character and his actions and make public things that him and his significant other were going through to justify or condone her officer's actions. Whatever his character is, or his actions prior to those police gunning him down, is no one's business. That's not justification. That's not a permit to kill him. I don't care if he was a criminal, or as they say, a criminal or whatever. I don't care about none of that matters. What matters is how those officers came with lethal force around a corner on a vandalism call after my son and gunned him down when he had nothing but a cell phone in his hand. That's what matters. And that was wrong. It was homicide, and they should be charged. I'm praying that the Attorney General will pick up where she failed. My faith in the justice system is what it has been. It's not for us. It's not for the Black community.
That was Stephon Clark's mother, Sequette, talking on Saturday. In the studio with me now is community activist Barry Axios. Hi, Barry.
How are you?
You were the first person we talked to a year ago after the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
How important has it been to hear often and in the way we're hearing from the Clark family over the last almost 48 hours?
I think that it's powerful to hear that the Clark family is all together in unison. I think that before when it all happened, you didn't get to hear from the mother as much as you're now hearing from her. And I'm very proud that they've all have been standing in the gap. Savante, he's had a clear mind. He's very poised. And I think the messaging that they're centering is the same messaging that a lot of us are saying, and that officers need to be fired.
You and others worked a lot on the advance planning before the DA's decision, even though none of us knew exactly when that would come. How has the advance planning made a difference in the aftermath now compared to the aftermath initially a year ago?
The reality is a lot of us knew exactly what was going to happen. There was going to be no charges.
You believed that.
Oh, we knew that. I mean, I said it so many times before. When Stephon Clark got killed by these officers, the officers just being back on patrol allowed me to know, oh, this is not going to go right. And when I watched the DA's first press conference after she had been hiding for months, she kind of set down pretty much the framework on how she could not really charge these officers because of the policies, because they didn't necessarily break any laws, the laws that protect the officers. So by then, though the charge was valiant from community on Black Lives Matter, standing in the gap of, you know, making sure they continue to be in front of the protesting at the DA's office for almost a year. And other folks, myself, Pastor Les, the Bill Black movement, really pushing justice. I already knew that there was nothing in the framework that says you can charge these officers. So what I was shocked about is how she defamed Stephon Clark in the manner that she did. That was the most shocking thing that was from her press conference when she said she wasn't going to charge the officers.
And how do you believe he was defamed?
Well, I mean, his character. The mother basically said it herself. You know, he was being called for allegedly a vandalism call and it became murder. But then at the same time, we're now listening and hearing all about his personal life. The text messages from, you know, his girlfriend, the mother of his child, and him going back and forth, kind of creating that idea that, you know, he was abusive. But the reality is it's a one-sided conversation. He never admitted to any of these things. But yet we're hearing a woman say A, B, and C. And with that framework, as a young man, if I'm feeling like I'm going to lose my family, I'm going to lose my girl, and I'm going to get the cops called on me for things that I might not have done, right? I'm going to be in a perfect place. I'm going to be on edge. So I looked at kind of what the words of how she stated it was almost like, well, these are the reasons why the police did it, because he was a bad guy. And to be honest with you, he was a victim, not a criminal.
She said she wasn't justifying or trying to justify. But let me back up. If she had no grounds to file charges, and you said you essentially knew, you and others, all along, there weren't going to be charges filed, then what specifically now is being protested?
The officers have to be fired. There has to be a recall on our DA. There's been 30 cases of police brutality and murder, and the DA has not charged not one officer.
Is it fair for me to say you're protesting the fact that there's been no consequence yet?
There's none. There has to be a consequence. I mean, at the end of the day, the officers and then listening to the chief, you know, and some of his conversation, it's almost kind of like you guys don't think that something was done wrong. It's almost as the officers were in the right to do what they did. Remember, this was a vandalism call. It was a vandalism call. Remember, the officers never, ever said, hey, it's the police. They never even gave him that moment or the time frame for him to kind of be like, OK, police are here. Let me stop whatever I'm doing. Right. They never assessed the situation. They never knocked on doors to find out, well, hey, whose house is this? What are we doing? You know, we have somebody in the back. I need you guys to, you know, close the door. They never communicated with the helicopter. There were so many things that were wrong. The camera was turned off during a specific time where some type of direction was given during that moment. So there's so many different things. Excessive force was being used. So that's why we're asking for the call of the officers being fired, because we don't know what kind of officers, these killer cops that are running and roaming our streets, what they'll do next. We don't know.
We did invite the DA for a follow-up conversation to clarify some of the questions, and she's not at this time doing interviews with anybody.
And that's the one thing about it, and I really want to break the framework. She is allowing the city to be under siege because of her messaging, because of her decision making. And she has reluctantly talked to the people. When folks were asking questions, she refused to talk to folks because she was afraid to give the conversations, the hard conversations that she needed to do prior to the decision, and as well as pointing the blame on the victim as well as the community and creating this atmosphere as if we were going to rage against the machine when the DA made her decision.
Barry, you must know that there are people that hear this completely differently from you, that hear that she was being fully transparent,
most definitely,
that she was being fully in line,
yes,
with current law, that she didn't have the legal means to charge the officers, mm-hmm, as she said over and over. There is a divide.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, in some respects, helpful that this debate is so public, that there is so much dialogue? Is this bringing more out of the shadows than where we were before March 18th of last year?
Almost definitely. And the reality that I live in, though my human senses say that these officers should be charged, these officers should be fired, I understand the letter of the law that the police and their standards, how they hold. That's why the DA could not have charged them, because first of all, she wanted to win the case. So if she did, let's say, just for the fact of, I just want to kind of get away from the smoke of it, I'm going to go charge these guys, they would have got out and been free after the trial. So we understand that. But we're looking at the levels of inconsistency, or the consistency of the fact that she continues to save or protect law enforcement. Remember, she got it checked a little bit after the Stephon Clark murder happened from law enforcement. So she's sleeping in bed with the same folks that are assassinating people, unarmed Black people.
You're talking about campaign funds, which is an entirely different story.
I mean,
I do understand, and we.
It was kind of ironic that it happened.
Different reporting.
It's kind of ironic it happened a week after.
You can find some of that reporting at capradio.org. I want to bring another voice into this conversation. Let's add someone you know well, Dr. Tekoi Porter. He is pastor of Genesis Church in Meadowview. Dr. Porter, glad to have you with us today. Welcome, Pastor.
Glad to be on. Thank you so much. And hey, Barry, how you doing?
Peace, King. How you, brother?
Doing well.
Keep holding it down, brother. Keep holding it down. I see you doing your work.
Thank you. Thank you. You too.
Pastor, I just want to frame the fact that your church is family founded and led for more than 25 years in the Meadowview community. Can you explain what change you've seen in the people or the atmosphere since the Stephon Clark shooting?
Well, Well, this shooting, like Barry has really talked about, first of all, it's placed our community in a trauma-like setting, you know, with the Joseph Manns and some other high-profile shootings, police shootings and incidents. It's created a wave of, I would say, paranoia. It's deepened the distrust between the residents of this community with those who are sworn to protect and serve. We've strived to do our best to create a sense of unity and peace and some type of hope there. But with the decision that was made by DA and the way she made the decision, Barry is exactly correct in that we weren't surprised by the decision, but in the manner of which she made it to dig up personal information in regards to Stephon Clark, this relationship, that was really shameful in that because it tried him, a person who's already been murdered, if you will, and can defend himself. And so it's just deepened this distrust right there. And so the community is not in a good space right now. There's healing that needs to be done, and this has definitely opened up that wound.
Let me look ahead, because everybody agrees that nothing is going to change quickly.
Most definitely.
It might take generations for the shift that everybody wants here.
We hope not.
What in the short term can be a definition of justice? Pastor Porter, what do you think for the people you see in and out of church every week? What would some justice be?
Accountability. That is the key right there. Making some type of accountability. And we've seen, you know, the chief, you know, the chief admits there are some mistakes made during that evening. That's why you see the foot patrol or chasing law. He's changed that policy.
Foot pursuit
right
policy.
There. Yeah, foot pursuit policy. You know, and then the Attorney General Becker, he produced a report making a number of recommendations on how to improve policing for Sacramento PD. So we know that there are some issues here in how police in our areas are communities of color. And so.
And Pastor Porter, he did say to us this morning that all of this rests to a great deal on his own decision making. Very much taking this on himself and not deflecting.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's great to be a champion in that moment, but will you champion for the community?
So is that what you think justice will be? What will that mean to you, Barry?
I don't think justice will ever be anything clear, because guess what? Stephon Clark can never come back, never kiss his kids, never kiss his mother, never hold his grandmother, never slap his brother on the hands, never try to rekindle the relationship with his mothers of his child. Mm. So justice can never really be clearly for the Clark family, first of all, or for the community. But when we talk about healing, how can healing go forward without justice? So the reality of what we look at is, as much as I understand that the bylaws of the Police Bill of Rights may protect these officers, there were crucial mistakes that were being made. And Chief Hunt being okay with those officers roaming the streets and the communities, how can you really trust these officers to not do something again? And when you don't execute any type of consequences, it allows a rogue policing to continue to be in our streets. So these officers have to be fired.
Barry, I got to pause you. The family is calling for unity. I'm sure that's what you're talking about in church, Pastor Porter. Are you planning a protest, a big incident of city unrest tonight at the Golden One Center?
I mean, that's what everyone thinks. Everyone thought that we were going to do that as soon as the charges came down and it didn't go the right way and it didn't happen. Anything that we plan is going to be peaceful. Anything
okay, you didn't plan, answer my question.
Anything we plan will be peaceful.
Are you doing something tonight?
Anything we plan will be peaceful. Anything we plan. And remember, it's not just...
That's an opening for a yes.
I mean, not necessarily. Because, again, the framework from the media was that the whole city was going to burn up.
Barry,
I mean, that was the framework.
Is this what you said at Arden Fair Mall? Sacramento, you are now warned. We might even show up at the Golden One Arena. You will see more events like this shutdown, with the shutdown of the mall.
No, that's not me.
That's not you?
No.
Okay.
Not I.
Well, I know the Clark family, they're pushing for unity, and we're pushing towards a legacy weekend coming up on the 1-year mark of Stephon Clark's tragic slaying. March 16, 17, 18.
Right.
And I know Barry's part will probably be a part of this as well. We do want unity. We do want peace. The family wants that as well. We want accountability as well. I think we're developed enough to hold these conflicting issues, if they are conflicting issues, right there. But we want to see a movement going forward. We're hoping that Attorney General Becerra would do some maybe level charges on his end. We were in his decisions right there. So we're calling for him to move forward with prosecution of the officers. We're hoping that Chief Hahn would offer some type of discipline to these officers and just, again, show accountability.
Pastor Porter, I need to pause you there. I'm going to mention right now on the Sac State campus, there is coffee and conversation with President Nelson. These safe zones are happening throughout the city at a number of places where people can talk and express the high level of emotion right now. Most of all, from you, Barry, I just want the ongoing conversation.
Oh, yeah, I mean, well, we want also have the idea of we keep on talking about unity, but we're the ones that are getting lynched. We're the ones that are being attacked, black people. So we keep on talking about unity. And there's one side that wants that because they don't want to continue into this moment. But on the other side, we've continually been victimized. And so how do we finally reach to a point to where there's accountability and police officers start being accountable for not only themselves, but other actions of police officers when things like this happen?
That's Barry Axios. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, ma'am.
And Dr. Pastor Tekoi Porter from Genesis Church in Meadowview. Thank you, Pastor
and
Porter.
I'd like to say I did not say about any shutdown of any Golden One period.
Okay.
So please, let's not, if we're going to be correct rhetoric, I don't want any rhetoric.
Absolutely
to
clarified.
That.
Thank you, Barry.
Most definitely.
All right. This is Insight on CAP Radio.